What's up, Action Tribe? AJ here, host and founder of My Seven Chakras, mysevenchakras.com, and welcome to another exciting episode of our podcast. Yesterday, I had the privilege of conducting an in-person interview with some of my new friends here in Puerto Morelos, Mexico, where I'm here on a short trip, part spiritual quest and part adventure. And it has been nothing but amazing so far, from exploring the ancient history of Chichen Itza, going to the pyramid, connecting with the essence of that ancient energy, learning about the stories of what happened there, and learning also about the enormous detail and preciseness with which that monument was constructed, looking into the solar cycles and mathematics and astronomy. It's really, really amazing. To snorkeling with barracudas and parrotfish and the other fish and other amphibians in the vibrant reefs. I've been fully immersing myself in the local culture, savoring the mouth-watering Mexican cuisine, the tacos and the empanadas and the seafood, and who can forget the cervezas, and absorbing everything that this beautiful country has to offer, especially the sunshine and the blue waters and the white sandy beaches. During my stay, I discovered the Serene Sundara Yoga Studio nestled on the pristine beaches of Puerto Morelos. It was there that I met Rocio, who is a yoga teacher over here, and Noah, a fellow yoga enthusiast who frequently visits this particular studio to practice and connect with community. So in this episode, we dive deep into the world of yoga, our own personal journeys of meditation and spirituality and what it means to us. And we discuss how these practices have really enriched our lives. But that's not all. We also explore the charming uniqueness of Puerto Morelos, which is a small town that is in between Cancun and Playa del Carmen on the Yucatan Peninsula, a place that holds a special place in our hearts. We discuss local traditions like the Temazcal, a traditional sweat lodge ceremony, the significance of the serpent in ancient Mayan culture, and the similarities with yoga and the Vedas from India, the powerful energy of the obsidian crystals. And by the way, I got two of them from one of the local Mayan people right across Chichen Itza, and the potent Cambo medicine derived from the secretions of the Amazonian tree frog. There is so much of things that I was hoping to explore, but you know, time is limited, and hopefully we get another chance to record some more episodes. So join us as we share our insights, experiences, and the importance of following your own intuition and pursuing your heart's true purpose. Because as we discuss in this episode, we all know deep down what we should be doing and where we must be heading. But a lot of times, the noise around us is so loud that it drowns our own inner voice. And that's why sometimes it's important to change your environment so that you can rethink, reimagine, and expand your aura to your new vision. And so tune in to this episode. Let's take you on a journey through the mystique and the wonder of Puerto Morelos and beyond. And get ready to be inspired by the stories, the wisdom, and the beauty of Mexico's hidden gem. And most importantly, let this be an invitation for you to reconnect with your intuition and go beyond your comfort zone. What's up, everyone? This is AJ here, host and founder of My Seven Chakras, mysevenchakras.com, the place where you can experience bliss, tranquility, relaxation, wherever in the world that you are. And guess where I am today? I am in Mexico, Puerto Morelos in particular. And many of you know that I've had this goal, this vision of traveling to Mexico and seeing if that place aligns with me on a more medium to long-term basis. And for the longest time, I was just, you know, procrastinating and delaying and saying, you know, giving excuses about not actually traveling to Mexico. And while this trip is not a long-term thing for me right now, I wanted to see, I wanted to be there, I wanted to take in the culture and the experience and the energy and the people over here. And so I am here. Puerto Morelos, for those of you who don't know, is a smaller town that is in the Yucatan Peninsula in between Cancun and Playa del Carmen. And the beautiful part about this place, apart from the obvious ancient wisdom, ancient civilization, the Mayan culture, so much to take in, because it is on the Caribbean Sea, so to speak, you get to enjoy beautiful blue turquoise water, clear blue skies most of the time, loads of sunshine, and along with that, amazing people as well, you know, Mexican food also. So there's a lot to take in. But on that journey, I did not want to forget about what this podcast is all about, which is, you know, meditation and yoga and spirituality and breathwork and cold showers. And on that note, I attracted and manifested some friends over here, particularly a yoga studio called Sundara Yoga Shala, which is just on the beach. So I ended up meeting Rocio, who is the yoga teacher from originally from Argentina, Buenos Aires, which by the way means beautiful air, right?
Yes, hello.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. And so the way I came here is I actually spoke to Patty, one of the other teachers here, but unfortunately because of the dates, I could not attend her lessons, and I attended one of the sessions by Rocio just day before yesterday. Enjoyed that session, very relaxing. And then I asked her whether she would be interested in doing a podcast interview just to get to know herself, her story, how she got into yoga, a little bit about Puerto Morelos, as well as Mexico in general. And I met another friend over here who is Noah. And Noah has been regularly coming, practicing yoga at this studio, as well as practicing yoga in general for a while now. And I'd let Noah introduce himself. Hey, Noah.
Hi. Thanks for having me. It's wonderful to be on the show.
Likewise. That's amazing. Cool. So where do we begin? I'll take a couple of seconds of silence over here because we're enjoying this beautiful ambience, the birds chirping, the wind just, you know, breezing by. And by the way, you should take a look at this yoga studio. Like I said, it's literally on the beach, and there's a natural breeze that is flowing. Despite it being a little bit sultry, a little bit warm and sunny outside, it's a nice ambience. So maybe we can start with Rocio. Talk to us about your journey. Where were you born and brought up? And a little bit about your childhood, if that's possible. How was your childhood like in Buenos Aires?
Okay, thank you so much. I'm born in Argentina. I have a good country. I love Argentina. I'm from to Buenos Aires City. You know, it's beautiful, but it's a busy city. The life is fast. And when I start with yoga, this is the reason for change my life, for state around the spirituality and meditation. When I start to travel, I change my mind and I need move to one place more around my life, my yoga, my spirituality.
And why spirituality? Like, how did spirituality come into your life? Because I know we all have our own journeys, right? And I'm sure our listeners as well. Maybe they're like a doctor, or maybe they're doing like a work as an accountant, or something largely unrelated to yoga and meditation, and bang, something happens. Or sometimes it's very gradual, but there's always a reason why we get into spirituality. What was it for you? Was it your parents who were into yoga, meditation, or what was it?
No, my parents, no. I am I am the unique. I start in my family for yoga, mm-hmm. and they come with me. but in the past, I looked the life not bad, but not good. But I think when you connect with your spirituality, you connect with you, connect with yourself, you can take a much better person with the society. And the spirituality for me is this, is be a good person, be a good human, take patience with yourself and connect with your brick. And this is perfect for not take bad situation, bad thing in your life, no? Mm-hmm. When you are spirituality, or when you do spirituality, you connect with you, the humans, with yourself, and your healthy change.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
And for you, when did that happen? When did you sort of learn about yoga? How did you find out about yoga?
Okay. In the past, when I had children, I do a lot of sports. And I am physical education teacher too. And for me, the education in the high school is bad. You only repeat the move for your teachers, and you know, think about this and not have take care for yourself, for your body. And this is one problem in the future. You have a lot of problems, injuries. One friend might say to me, you need test yoga, it's the best, change your life. This is the reason for start. And when I start yoga, I not like this hard sport and change my energy. I feel much better. I not need doctor. My life is in balance when I start to yoga.
Amazing. Maybe we can have Noah talk a bit about your journey and sort of what was your childhood like? A little bit.
My childhood was intense. I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee. And spirituality was all centered around the Christian religion and leaning more to the Baptist, very strict, black and white interpretation of those texts. So I grew up in Christian school. As Rocio said, the physical education was not showing us how to connect to our body. In fact, they limited your stretches to 8 seconds. They said if you held a posture longer than this 8 seconds, it was going to be harmful for you. So grew up playing all the sports, football, lacrosse, beating up on my friends, wrestling and whatnot, all the natural injuries that come along with that. And by the time I got to college, I had a friend of mine that was from California, and he was kind of that cool guy that everybody liked his style but didn't know why. And I'm on the ground wrestling my hurt back in a plow pose, but I didn't know it at the time. And he looks over at me and he goes, you know, if you pull your arms this way and throw your ankles back a bit more, you're actually doing yoga. And that just kind of stuck with me. And as I traveled back to Tennessee from North Carolina, found some classes and just kind of started exploring. It was so interesting to me, and my curiosity was piqued.
Mm-hmm. And what is spirituality to you personally?
Spirituality is trauma to me at this point in my life. With the way that I grew up and there was no allowance for discovering your own connection to God. It was to be this way. There were rules, there were checks and balances. And if you didn't fit that box, then you were going to hell and you couldn't be right. So yoga really taught me to come into my body and trust that you don't have to believe everything the way everyone else does, that there is this immense gray area when it comes to everything, relationships, perspective, the path that we should be taking in life. And yoga has just been the safety net that constantly caught me whenever I was battling something in my personal life or my spiritual life.
Yeah, that's true. I think a lot of our listeners can also relate that yoga or spirituality in general is sort of like a trauma, right? Because I can't know or haven't heard of any person who is on a spiritual journey but hasn't gone through some kind of weird, traumatic, challenging, difficult journey. And what they also talk about is the healer's burden, right? Or the healer's, what do you call that? Pain. Because if you are called to the journey or the quest of healing, then along with that comes with some kind of exercise that you got to work on. And that could be a challenge in your personal life. It could be in your relationships. It could be finances also. A lot of healers have, you know, blockages related to finances, but it also could be spirituality, you know, asking those questions about who I am, where I'm from, and what is my purpose in life, right? A lot of people really suffer in that, but I'm glad that we have this practice of yoga and pranayam and other tools that can then help us find some clarity in our lives and help us make those steps towards more alignment. That's awesome. That's awesome. And maybe we can switch to Rocio. So how did you arrive in Puerto Morelos? What is that story like? When did that happen?
Yes, okay. Oh, the first time when I visit Mexico, I am excited for North Mexico. But I love Mexico City. I love this country, the people, the food. But I need to change my life. But I not think about this, but I feel this. When I know Cancun and Playa del Carmen, yes, I like, but no, really like. When I know Puerto Morelos, I love in Puerto Morelos. I love the sea. We have the reef number one. You have a lot of fish, different colors. The sea is beautiful. It is blue color, and this is a little town, and the people is nice. The people have and life no fast. You can go in bike, you can do yoga, you can do different activities, and is when I know this place, I think, why not? I need move. I not like more the city. And I study in meditation. When you live in one place with nature, hike your vibes. When you live in a city, lower your vibes. And this is the reason. And when I move, I not sink in life in ever my life. I think, okay, I flow with the life, and I'm follow here for 6 years.
6 years, wow.
6 years.
That is amazing. I love that you sort of listened to your intuition and you felt that there was a need to change, right? Yes. And I know many of our listeners feel that sometimes, yes, especially people tuning in from like the biggest cities, you know, like Vancouver or Toronto or Florida, or for that matter, Los Angeles or London, right? Sometimes some of us are not meant to live in these large cities with concrete buildings all around you, surrounding you, limiting your aura also in a way, right? And so you listened to your intuition, you felt that there was a change, and then you visited Cancun, you visited Playa, but then you felt like Puerto Morelos was this sweet spot in between both these cities. And just yesterday, I went snorkeling. my first time snorkeling, and it was so beautiful. It's fascinating that the water over here, it changes every day. Because I think 2 days back, there was a little bit more sargassum in the water, but yesterday was like more clearer. And people listening to this episode, I'm not sure if you've ever been snorkeling, but it's beautiful. As you look down, you look at a completely different world, like the world from the movie Nemo, Finding Nemo. Yes. Like you look down, you see all the different fishes, different colors, and the corals, the living corals. And of course, I saw a barracuda yesterday. It's not a, it doesn't attack you, but the way it looks at you, it's, like, it's scary.
That's scary, yeah.
Exactly. And so here you are, you know, you have a combination of yoga and meditation. And if you want to go to the beach, you can go to the beach. And like you put it, it's, you know, your environment affects your vibration. And so if you are in a good environment, in an environment which is closer to nature. Wherever I go over here, I notice in Espanol, it's written like, the earth is your home, something along those lines. The earth is your home, treat it like your home. And everyone's so careful about littering over here and protecting the reefs. So it's really good to witness, for sure.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Yes, this is a wonderful this is a wonderful thing for this place. You have a lot of activities from nature, not only on the sea. You have yoga classes, you have yoga retreats in the jungle. It's amazing. You can immersion for the food, for the yoga, for the meditation. Or you have others activities like Temazcal. Temazcal is a newborn in your life. For me, is when you do one Temazcal, you take out the bad energy and you have a new life. I don't know. And you have cenotes, you have jungle, you can do yoga on the beach, on the jungle, on the studio. Yes, and if you like, you can know Chichen Itza is other magic place around here. No, it's in Puerto Morelos, but it's around here. This is the older pyramids for Mayas. It's incredible. Yes, it's magic place. Yeah,
for sure. When I was coming to or thinking about traveling to Mexico, I'd done a lot of research in Puerto Vallarta and Mazatlan and all the places on the West Coast. But then I asked my intuition, what is the ideal place that I should go if it's the first time that I'm going to Mexico? And it dawned on me that I should go to somewhere in the Yucatan because I wanted to visit the pyramids of Chichen Itza. And I went there day before yesterday, but what a sight to behold, right? I've seen all of these things only on television and movies, but here I am in front of the pyramid, and it is magnificent to witness. And for those listening, I see a lot of similarities between Indian culture, the Vedas, and Mayan culture. Because in India, Maya is a word, as you know, like it means illusion. And I see a lot of similarity between Vedic astrology and how people design their homes in the four directions, and the focus on mathematics and astrology and the chakras, the energy centers, and the aura as well. So a lot of similarities, which is always good to know. So Noah, what brought you to Puerto Morelos?
Yoga is exactly what brought me to the area. A friend of mine owns a hot yoga retreat center here. And at the time I was living in West Virginia, and he had just built a new retreat center up there and was bringing the 26-2 hot yoga practice to the area. I had been practicing with him for a few months, and then he made a joke that there was one spot left on the retreat. And lo and behold, I went home and I booked that last spot. Didn't have a passport. Figured I could wing it like everything else. And that turned into a nightmare. Had to fly across country to Denver to get a expedited passport. But I made it to that yoga retreat and soon fell in love with Puerto Morelos.
That is amazing. How long back was that?
That was about a year and a half ago now. I ended up immediately going to a second yoga retreat over in Puerto Vallarta at Chinalani, and again, just had an epic experience and was with some of the retreat guests that I had met at my retreat here in Puerto Morelos. From there, I couldn't get enough, and I kept traveling back and forth to both sides of the country, and ended up going for a yoga retreat in Thailand, April of 22. From there, I flew back to Puerto Morelos to do my own 26-2 yoga teacher training. And by the end of that month, I couldn't leave, and I've been here ever since.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. It sort of reminds me, I love Tony Robbins. And I was re-listening to one of his workshops. And what he says is, life is all about decisions, right? And when you decide, something magical happens. A decision is when you decide that things cannot be the same, that you deserve a shift. And when you make a decision, it's all about action as well, right? So how do you back that decision by some kind of action? And in your case, you decided to, on the fly, book right, your spot on the retreat, and then sort of everything worked, you know, after that, right? Even getting your passport expedited, which is awesome. So you did a retreat in Puerto Vallarta as well?
Yes, and I went back the second year to do that retreat again. I can't speak highly enough about the yoga retreat model. It's one thing to find a good class and be there regularly, but spending an entire week just immersed in the practice. I really learned this, or got a taste of it, with my yoga teacher training, because it was one weekend a month over the course of an entire year. So I was getting these little bits and pieces of the experience of that real yogi lifestyle. And then by the time I signed up for that retreat, I was already sold. And from there, it's just been a journey, diving deeper into my own practice, my healing, and hopefully one day I'll be teaching and leading retreats as well.
Amazing, amazing. So how would you compare Puerto Vallarta to Puerto Morelos?
Puerto Vallarta is a lot harder to navigate. The culture's amazing. There's really cool sights to see. I can't speak highly enough about Sayulita and San Pancho up a little higher on the coast. But you really need your own car to get around. You're out in the middle of nowhere for a while. It just doesn't have that comfort that the Yucatan does. As well, when you get to a town like Puerto Morelos, even Playa, you can travel everywhere by foot. A taxi ride can get you anywhere for $2, $3 US or Canadian. The ease of classes, even in this small little port village, I can think of four or five yoga studios and I could go to at least three classes a day. That's not to mention the other dance classes, workout classes, community centers and things like that. So the kind of long-term lifestyle here is just, it's really feeds me. And I think it provides a container for healing that not a lot of other places have.
Interesting. And, you know, part of my vision also, as I've shared with both of you, is to be able to be based out of a city where I can do my podcast for retreats, where we do breath work, where we do cold exposure, maybe cold plunging. We do some yoga and, you know, mix it up with some sightseeing as well, you know, whether it's visits to Chichen Itza, you know, going to, I don't know, the zoo nearby, snorkeling, diving. There's so many things to do here, right, for the person who's come for a vacation, but now it becomes a healcation, not a vacation. It becomes a healcation because all of us need some healing. We all deserve it at some point in time. And so, listeners, if you are listening to this episode and if it makes sense to you, if it resonates, reach out to me. And maybe we can, you know, plan something. My email, as most of you know, is aj@mysevenchakras.com, aj@mysevenchakras.com. Through my inner circle, we already have some people, you know, who have reached out to me with interest in sort of putting together a retreat, perhaps sometime in the near future. But who knows? We'll come up with something. I wanted to ask you, Rocio, maybe we could talk a little bit about some of the unique activities that people can do here in Puerto Morelos. One of the things you mentioned is Temazcal. Now, from Vancouver, there's also a rich First Nation community in British Columbia, the Squamish community and the Musqueam community over in Vancouver. And it sounds similar to what they refer to as a sweat lodge, you know, where they build out a lodge and they heat the rocks, then there's a bowl of water inside and they put the rocks and there's a lot of intense sort of vapor and smoke, right? And then you chant. Is that similar to what we have there?
Oh yes, it's similar. Yes, the Temazcal, if you like, take one similar activity, is like sauna. Okay, is this you feel in your body? But the really sense in the spirituality is the rocks are your grandparents. Okay, and when you do one temazcal, the heart adopt you. Or if you have your activity in Mexico, the heart adopt you in Mexico. And for me, you can work in your body, in your trauma, in your whatever you want, no? You can take one thing for work in this temazcal. For example, I need change my life, I need have a much better life, I have, I don't know, whatever you want work in this temazcal, you can work this and you feel in your body like one sauna. Yes.
Right. So you're saying that it's a combination of the rock plus the environment that is created inside that large, so to speak. And it's also about this intention that you set for your life, whatever goal it is that you are hoping to achieve or whatever blockages or challenges that you're wanting to release. Mm-hmm. That's a good opportunity to do that, because when you come out of that darkness, that's when it's sort of like a rebirthing experience also, right?
Exactly. Yes. And we have in the rocks different different seeds like lavanda, copal, this help for this ceremony. And we sing in the temazcal different things from from the past of Mexico, no? And the Django helped you this experience.
Yeah, that's the thing about Mexico. There's so much of ancient wisdom that is passed on from, you know, parent to offspring and through the shamans as well. Ancient wisdom, which delves into a lot of science as well as practices that can potentially transform your life and transform how you look at this universe. Because what we are finding out, even through science, is that this is like a holographic universe, right? Like, there's nothing real, really. If you look at things down to the atomic level, there is 99% space and just 1% sort of solid. So...
yes. This is an experience are magical for the Mayas in the past. They practiced this, the temazcal, they swimming in the cenotes. The cenotes is wonderful. The water is ever cold, and in summer is cold. And this is a pool, nature from the earth. And you can swim, and you need different when you finish to swim to the cenotes too.
Do you have any idea how the cenotes were created? Was it natural or
yes.
Natural?
Yes, natural pools.
It was a meteor impact that hit and formed the Gulf of Mexico, and then all of the cenotes were the little pieces of the meteor that broke off the debris fields.
Right. That's what I thought as well. I'm not sure if it's particularly the Younger Dryas meteor, because like 12,800 years back, there was this huge meteor that struck the Earth, especially in places close to Washington in USA, and, you know, sort of that area. And it was so hard that it wiped out around 80 to 90% of the megafauna and the large animals that were living in that place and kickstarted an ice age. And obviously, theoretically, destroyed other civilizations like the Atlanteans and the Lemurians. That's what they prophesize. And then certain particles of that asteroid or that comet, hit Mexico as well. So I'm not sure. Maybe it's that, or maybe it's the one that hit 65 million years back when, which wiped out the dinosaurs. Do you know?
That I'm not sure of.
Okay.
Maybe a bit of both.
Awesome. Maybe we can talk a bit about the mythology and the story behind the snake, the serpent. Both of you can talk, but I'll start a little bit about the significance of the snake in India, right? Because in India, from ancient times, the snake was always adulated, revered, respected, worshipped. If you look at yoga, we've got the Kundalini, and once the Kundalini arises, that's when the Shakti, the pure energy, is meeting with the consciousness, with the Shiva. And every person in India, at least those who are spiritually inclined, want to at some point have that Kundalini awakening experience. But also, there are these stories in India about the Nagas, which are either species or deities or peoples from different dimensions or different planets, perhaps, the Nagas, who come visit the earth. And Naga literally means serpent. So there's a lot of mythology, there's a lot of stories in ancient history related to serpents and snakes in particular from India. But what have you found about maybe Puerto Morelos or Mexico in general about snakes?
The only experience that I have would be the Christian background and narrative that the snake is representative of the devil or that which should not be trusted or looked at. So coming into the Maya culture here, and especially having interest in ayahuasca, which is said to be kind of meeting the mother, and she presents herself as an enormous snake. I did sit in ceremony and was able to experience that firsthand, and it was bone-chilling and awe-inspiring at the same time. being in the yoga practice and having studied from teachers that draw from India, Asia, the South, you know, these cultures that are so foreign to us in the United States. It was cool to have that experience because, kind of as you were saying, you don't really know about it. You've seen the images and the statues and whatnot, and it piques your curiosity. So I do know that medicine and that history that they have with that medicine that goes into not only the ayahuasca, but the Temescal ceremony, the different frog ceremonies they have in the peyote and cactus, all kind of stems from that respect and revere for the serpent's place in nature. And I think all of them kind of reflect that Ouroboros idea in the serpent eating his tail and that nothing is permanent. This practice is constantly going to be built up and then burnt down once again for us to step into our new layer.
Would you like to share something, anything at all, about snake or what you?
Okay. here we have the Maya culture in Chichen Itza. When we have solsticio in summer, when is sunset, wake up the snake and they. She's in the sky with different colors, and come people for USA, for Canada, for other state from Mexico, for look this thing is impression, it's incredible, yes. But yes, the snake, I very similar like Noah in the past or the other. Religions say it's bad, the snake is like Diablo, I don't know. But for me, it's one animal more. We need to learn from animals. And here, if you not touch the animal, they are in your place, in the jungle. But this is my opinion about the snake.
Yeah, that's very true. I think at the end of the day, if you look at it as an animal, it's just we humans that attach meaning to it, right? Whether it's like negative or a bad animal or a good animal. A lot of times snakes can be good as well because only through the venom can you create an anti-venom, right? That can potentially save somebody's life.
Yes.
That's awesome. And also, to your point, all these ancient buildings and architectures, you do see a lot of these snakes, and then you begin to wonder, you know, what was the significance of that? I want to speak a little bit about the obsidian. Do you at all collect crystals? Do you like crystals?
Oh, yes.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Okay. Yes, obsidian is from here,
yeah.
From Yucatan. It's a magical rock. Ever black rocks, they are for take out the bad energy. This is protector for you, for other person, for your energy, for yourself. And yes, I believe in the rocks, in the obsidiana. For me, it's the magical rock. And when I live in Argentina, I need search one obsidiana. And here you have a lot of obsidiana in every country. It's, for me, it's excellent. It's nice for take in your. In your body, for take in your house, for protect your energy. Yes.
Amazing, amazing. Do you collect crystals at all?
I do. I actually made a profession out of collecting crystals for about 10 years.
Oh, really? Okay. What is your favorite? And do you like obsidian?
I really like pure quartz crystal. The Lemurian seed crystal from Sierra do Cabral in Brazil has always been a really prized stone for me. And I do love the obsidian. I was offered some in my Kembo training and taught to use it as a sundial to be able to sun gaze at all time of day and not just in the final hours or minutes before it sets. I don't know enough about it, so I'd like to dive a little deeper, but it sure is fascinating.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. So did you own like a crystal store or how was it?
I made jewelry and mostly started wholesaling between the mine owners around the world and the different jewelers in the United States in the early days of Facebook. Never before had we been able to just reach out and contact someone halfway across the world.
Yeah.
So it opened up a really exciting frontier for a bit.
Nice, nice. So you've been connected to the Maya for a while now.
Pardon?
You've been connected to the Maya for a while now.
Oh, absolutely. Right. absolutely. I joke with my friends that I'm Aluche, and that's what brought me back here. Aluche is the guardian of the cenotes, and they also have a type that would guard the farmer's fields, and a really, really cool little story and history there.
Right. And as listeners know that I love crystals myself and rocks also, not just crystals, but I've got a collection. I've got a hematite. I've got one beautiful crystal which is from a certain part of Russia, Karelia, shungite. A lot of people say shungite, you know, is not from the earth in the first place. It came through some kind of meteor or comet, but it's a beautiful rock. And I've got one shaped as a pendant with a sacred geometry sign. I collect a lot of these crystals that I keep in my pocket so that my, you know, energy is cleansed, you know, throughout the day. But I've got an orange rock. I've got the white one. I've never had an obsidian before, but the story that he shared about, you know, these Spaniards coming in their ships and they could see the obsidian in the fort of Tulum from far away, and because of the sun's rays, the black obsidian appeared golden, and they thought it was gold, and they said El Dorado, and then years later they were like, no, it's obsidian. It's not gold in particular. But this, so that increased my fascination for this rock, and I had to get it. So I got this, but I also got the other dial that you can look into the sun at, no matter what time of the day it is. I found that fascinating. That's interesting.
Are you going to make it down to the Tulum ruins or Coba while you're here?
I'm actually going to Playa del Carmen on Monday. So tomorrow's my last day technically in Puerto Morelos. I'm not sure. Would you recommend I go there?
Oh, absolutely. You could see, I think, all three of the ruins down there in a one-day trip from Playa. So highly recommend. Do you know the other one? There's the port ruins, there's Coba, and then there's one more.
Bacalao, that's even down, right? Oh, beautiful, I've heard of that. Yeah, I just wish I could stay for like a month, you know? That's the plan, right?
And they're building a train right now that's really going to take you to all of the different sacred sites around Mexico. Best item for sure.
Yeah. So side note, I want to ask you, both of you, about your thoughts around, you know, just expenses in general, you know, pricing in general. I go to the grocery stores over here. Obviously, you know, maybe like shacks on the beach, it's a bit more expensive for Mexico, that's totally fine. But if I go to the grocery stores like Chedraui and the other places, I notice the prices are pretty much as same as Canada or, for example, US. So my question is, how do, for a local Mexican, they're earning in Mexican pesos, right? So isn't it like super expensive for them?
Okay.
Or how do they reconcile?
Yes, maybe in Puerto Morelos, Playa del Carmen, Tulum, Cancun, we have the same thing. You have one sun for tourists and you have one sun for locals. When you stay in the sun for tourists, high the price ever. But if you answer to the local people, they can recommend you for one place for local people. The price is cheaper and you help your local person, Mexican, for take things around Mexico.
Right. Yes. Right. Okay, that makes sense. Because when I was coming here, obviously when a lot of people come to Mexico, they end up staying at one of the all-inclusive resorts, right? The big hotels that are in Cancun. But that sort of gives you a very sanitized, limited experience of Mexico, isn't it? Because sometimes, you know, you wake up and you go for a buffet, and you go to the private beach, and you go to the gym, and there's like a lot of people around and kids running all around. And then you go to buffet, and a lot of times buffet is not necessarily Mexican food. It's just general food, right? So I wanted to, like you pointed out, I wanted to live in Mexico among, you know, local people. That's why I live in the Colonia right now. And you know, eating local and supporting the local restaurants and really getting to know the people where they're. So, you know, I want to try out all-inclusive someday just to see what the experience is like. But I found that interesting. Thanks for sharing. Wanted to also speak about Cambo. You know, like for listeners listening, what is Cambo? What is your experience with it? And what is the significance behind this practice?
So Cambo is the secretion of a toad frog from the Amazon in Brazil. There was a tribe that all of the warriors were getting sick, and because they couldn't hunt, the rest of the village was malnourished and looking as though they might be coming to extinction. The shaman and the elders of the village were brought these visions of the frog and how they could save their people, and then started applying the poison through these gates, which are superficial burns in the top layer of the skin. Once the poison is applied, the blood pressure increases. You notice a slight fever or being flushed. You tend to swell up a bit, and then the purge starts from the lower parts of your bowels. It will squeeze your liver, your kidneys, your pancreas, gallbladder, and expel this deep, rich yellow to orange bile, kind of like you see when you're dry heaving at the very end of a very bad illness or something like this. But this comes out by the liter. It's unbelievable to imagine that we're walking around on the day-to-day with this much just putrid, acidic fluid inside of us. So the poison also has these peptides that will stimulate an immune system response, flooding your body with white blood cells, enabling it to strengthen the nervous system. It's great for rewiring neurochemical pathways associated with depression, addiction, and anxiety. All in all, it really is just a profound spiritual cleansing. Some of the teachers have said that there's an eighth chakra, and it's the one that connects you to your higher self and your path. And this is supposed to release that chakra and allow kind of that kundalini energy to fully ignite. For me, it's been very powerful and transformative, which is why I went the path of learning how to offer treatments myself and have been doing different types of experiments, seeing if there are some other protocols that could be a little gentler on people that aren't looking for such an extreme process. And I've had a lot of success. Any questions?
So you feel the difference right after?
Oh, absolutely. Just the dietary aspect of it alone, I would pair it to a 5-day juice cleanse immediately. You feel so much lighter, and the kind of the shift is almost like that of one of Rocio's yoga classes at the end of Shavasana.
Would you like to share something about Cambo?
No, I not try, but I need try with my friend Noah. Yes, I need try.
Awesome. This sort of reminds me of the fact that we do all these different practices, like maybe Kambo, like you said, initially you notice a blood pressure rise and you notice fever, like you're having a fever. And like even for fasting, initially you have that sort of weird response where you feel like you've gotten into something that's worst for you. And like, for example, cold plunge, right? Initially you feel your blood pressure rises, your heart rate rises, your blood vessels constrict because of the cold. And so we do all these different practices, which are actually good for you, but initially it's initially you feel as if, you know, it's not so best for you. It sort of reminds me of the concept of eustress, which points to the idea that stress in general is not bad for you. Chronic stress is bad. If you have stress each and every day, each and every hour of the day, that's probably bad. But sometimes small doses of stress strengthen your immune system, you know, create more white blood cells, rewire your brain, make you more resilient, and numerous other benefits. So it feels fascinating that some of us, instead of going away from the comfort voluntarily and proactively, go into the discomfort because we know it in the long term is actually good for us, right?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a big fan of the cold therapy. 90 days of cold showers and you don't really want to go back.
Awesome. And Noah knows some folks in Playa del Carmen, where I'm heading to, who on the regular do cold plunges. And as listeners of our show know, I'm a huge advocate of cold showers in particular, and breath work, and visualization and humming and all these good practices that help us regulate our nervous system and help us experience more bliss. As we come to an end of this wonderful podcast, what does the next couple of months look like for you?
The next couple of months for me will be daily yoga classes and as much fresh fruit as I can find, but plan on diving deeper into my practice and offering the Kambo treatments and really working with people one-on-one to see the long-term responses versus just that immediate reaction to the process like we were talking about.
Amazing. Good to know. What about you, Rocio?
Oh, okay. When I follow here the next months, I need try Kambo. I follow with my practice and I follow teaching yoga. I have my meditation every day from the sea. I follow here in Puerto Morelos. Maybe in summer have any retreats too from Sundara. And fine. Very fine.
Awesome. Wonderful. And so as we end this particular podcast over here, it was such a gift and an honor to connect with both of you, you know, here in Puerto Morelos, and to be able to do a podcast in person has been really, really amazing. Action Tribe, if some of this resonated with you or if a lot of this resonated with you, make sure that you reach out to me. You know, connect to me on Instagram. My handle is @my7chakras, or reach out to me. Send me an email at aj@my7chakras. Let me know how you feel, what your feedback is, or anything that you'd like to share. But from our end, it's closure for now as I figure out what to do for the rest of the day.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.